Welcome back, my friend. Chef and a Fat Man live from the iconic jewel of Memphis, known as Silky O'Sullivan's. It is the place on Beale Street. Heck, you know what? You haven't even been on Beale Street if you haven't been to Silky O'Sullivan's. And if you have a hard time and you have bad eyesight, listen for the goats. I could make a very simple joke here that would be devastating, but I shall not. I shall not. Because we are having a ton of fun, as Chef Eric and I are known to do, right here at Silky O'Sullivan's with a tremendous, tremendous young chef. And he's young, he's exciting, and he's brought back the diner, but it's diner with a flair. Chef Michael Peck.
Thank you very much.
Chef, how you doing, baby?
I'm wonderful. Just gracious and grateful to be here. Appreciate you guys.
No problem. Well, you know what? When we last left you, we had put some onions, some poblano peppers into a sauté pan. You added some butter. What else did you add to it?
Added Worcestershire, our house barbecue sauce, Creole mustard, garlic, salt, and pepper.
Garlic, salt, and pepper. Okay, cool.
And that's going to give me that juicy liquid for the binding element of the panko breadcrumbs.
Okay.
Kind of pulled all together.
All right. So, what's next?
Well, we are going to mix the breadcrumbs, our mixture that we sautéed, with our meat and some eggs. I'm going to use 2 eggs for this.
And just to remind everyone, we're making a meatloaf here.
Right.
Right. And and that meatloaf is not just going to be a meatloaf by itself, because later in the show, we're gonna add a gravy to that meatloaf, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. But not just your mama's brown gravy.
No. It's a green tomato gravy, and not a fried green tomato gravy. I thought it was very interesting when we were talking yesterday that you had actually, one of the things you've decided to do is sort of take green tomatoes and spotlight them in other ways besides just as a fried green tomato.
Right. When I moved here 15 years ago, I never had a fried green tomato. And I like them, don't get me wrong, but I think the kind of sour, almost savory flavor you can get out of a green tomato, I just want to show people that there's more to do with it than fry it. So we put it in chutneys, relishes, we stuff them, and this green tomato gravy thing just came to me. I needed something to cut the heat of the chorizo just a little bit.
Makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. And, you know, that's the interesting part about using an ingredient like that. The contrast of a green tomato compared to, like, regular tomatoes and whatnot, you know, regular tomatoes have a lot more sweetness typically. This is going to be one of those essential elements that we've talked about with people for years about balancing, and you heard me talk about it earlier today, as a matter of fact, sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and savory, or umami. And
right, umami.
Whatever pieces of that you're using that's appropriate for your dish need to be in good balance. Doesn't mean equal parts. It just means in good balance so that they work together and complement each other instead of overpowering.
Yeah.
And to use ingredients like a green tomato as one of those ingredients to help that balance is very creative. I like that use of it instead of just using...
Chef Eric!
Yes.
Ooh! You know,
yes.
Silky O'Sullivan's is known for the diving goats. Well, one of them's getting up to the platform. It's going all the way up.
Don't do it.
Well, you'll have to stay. See, I think he was responding to your mating call.
You think so?
Oh.
Is that what... My mating goat. I have goats. I have to speak to the goats. You know, you have to talk.
What are you,
to
the goat whisperer?
Look,
speechless are you?
Most of the time, I'll tell you what I whisper to these goats.
No, I don't want to know. That's too much information. Back to the meatloaf.
Okay. Anyway, so you've now added in. Tell me what was you took
I,
the mixture,
like to use,
put it in a bowl. Right. You added in panko breadcrumbs and what kind of meat?
This is a chorizo and ground beef blend. And I do about a 30-70 chorizo to ground beef.
Okay.
The chorizo can be very fatty, so if you were to do 50-50, which I tried, just too much fat, it kind of dries it out. So I went with more ground beef versus less chorizo.
And you end up swimming in the chorizo. As a matter of fact, this year at our gumbo competition where we competed, we didn't really have time. It was like 3 in the morning. Didn't really have time to render out the chorizo properly. So I said, you know, it'll cook in there. That'll be fine. Let's just go ahead and put the chorizo in like it is. Because it was already smoked and it was cooked. And I'm thinking, well, it's not going to render out that much fat. Oh, my God.
Swimming in a pool of orange.
I had to scrape off a layer of paprika and an oil, basically.
And the heat. Oh, by the way, Chef Eric.
Oh, look.
They brought you another iced tea.
Yeah, that's nice.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Now, back to Chef Michael, you've got your meatloaf. It's all rolled up. You know what? Right. It looks like a Yule log in tinfoil.
Now, would you cook it like that?
Yeah, I'll put it on a half sheet pan. It'll go in the oven at 350 for 45 minutes until it reaches in the foil.
Interesting. All right, because I know a lot of people, when they stick it in the oven, they're going to stick it in the, you know, the traditional meatloaf pan, the mold, and then they'll toss on ketchup and all sorts of garbage like that.
All the classics.
This I like, and it's a lot easier to cook. Now, can you do this in advance? Stick that in the fridge, maybe for a day,
a couple hours, a day, no doubt about it. On the weekends, we sometimes do that just to get ready.
Just so you're ready to cook one. And then, how long is that going to cook for?
It's going to go for 45 minutes to an hour until it reaches 170.
Okay. You know,
for us, it's usually about an hour.
Okay. And the chorizo you're using, again, who's that from?
It's locally sourced at a little store called Guadalapena on Summer Avenue.
Okay.
And Mario is a really good guy. And he, you know, on top of just chorizo, he makes his own meats, marinades, chicken, incredible.
Now, is it like a Latin carniceria?
Exactly, or? Yes.
Do they have pork rinds?
Yes.
Chinchulinas with the meat attached to the rind?
Yeah, sometimes even a little hair.
Oh, my God. No, I'm serious, man. Those things are the most amazing.
They really are.
That's a breakfast treat, especially if you're on like an Atkins diet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually eat it, believe it or not.
He makes his own queso, and he'll sell it rolled in a banana leaf like you would buy it traditionally down in Mexico, South America. Yeah, it's...
And what's the name of his shop?
It's called Guadalapena.
Okay.
And it's on Summer... But it's a wonderful little shop, and we definitely love his product. But like I said, we'll pop that in the oven, and it'll come out. And when it comes out, we'll let it cool, because if you cut it out right away, it's going to fall apart on you. You want those oils to congeal. And I've learned this from experience, pull it out, cut one on the fly, which means you're in a hurry.
Right.
Sometimes the foil gets stuck to it.
Oh, so that's never a good thing.
No.
Boy, that brings a whole new meaning to the word roughage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Magnetic roughage.
Yes.
But, okay, great. So we're going to go ahead and do that. We're going to put that in the oven, and then we're going to do that green tomato gravy a little bit later to top it with, which sounds fantastic. And I think let's just talk about what the next recipe is going to be and get people salivating about it, because when we get back from the break, we'll actually get started with it. What is the next recipe?
In Memphis, there's this item called a Prono Pup. It's a deep-fried corn dog. I wanted to do something traditional for Memphis food-wise, and I wanted to elevate the Prono Pup. So we do a lobster Prono Pup. It's going to be battered and fried, just like all great food is in Memphis. And it's going to have a little Creole
mustard. Thank you, Chef. I'm glad to hear that, because that just, you know, anything that's fried, he gets all, brown, it's brown, and everything's brown. Brown is beautiful.
Well, beige. It's really, so many dishes are just filled with beige.
Yes.
And I don't mean the garnish of the parsley sitting on the end. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just beige. And I'm a little bit of a believer, believe it or not, with this physique, that, you know, we need to incorporate a little bit more vegetable in our typical diet.
Well, listen, have you ever had fried butter on a stick?
No, but I've had fried mayonnaise balls.
Fried mayonnaise balls. I'm telling you, we do nothing but haute cuisine here on Jeff the Fat Man. Things that will open your belts, open your minds, and make you think, man, I wish I could have that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Can you imagine
a beautiful
fried mayonnaise ball in a nice remoulade?
Well, really, the only reason I have like a bologna sandwich ever.
Oh, yeah. You don't eat bologna. You're such a liar.
But if I did, it would be for the mayonnaise.
Yes, but see, you're the man who didn't have a sloppy Joe in his life until he was 25 years old. You have no idea what real American food is. You eat foie gras. Anyway, my friends, we're going to go back to meatloaf and lobster on a steak. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about the beautiful people at Silky O'Sullivan's, because they are the icon of Memphis when it comes to food, drink, good times, and hot music, and cool people. It's Silky O'Sullivan's. It's Beale Street. It's Memphis, Tennessee. It's Memphis and May, baby.